Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are...
Coming at you! Welcome to another edition of AMP Radio, another MMA podcast. We're coming at you live and unedited from the mean AMP Radio studios in the USA, Danville, California. Also coming at you from the AMP International in Brantford, Ontario, where the BJs are better than nine Yanks. Woo-hoo. Right, Prados? I thought that was pretty good. I gotta give it up to who was that? Was that Chasm that put that up, or was that Josh?
Josh.
That was hilarious. We're coming at you live and unedited, guys, and we haven't done one of these in quite some time. This week in MMA, UFC 222, we're going to talk some UFC on Fox in Orlando, Emmett Stevens, and maybe even preview UFC Fight Night Verdum versus Volkov, and talk, of course, about the mythical, as I stole that from somebody, I'm telling you right now, Proteus, I stole that from somebody, maybe you, the mythical UFC Women's Featherweight Division. Let's go to the first lady of AMP Radio, the lady that if I was married to, I'd probably weigh 300 pounds. Hit it!
Hi, guys. I said, hi, guys. Yo, hi, y'all. Hi, y'all. This is where you would say, hi, all y'all. Because it's a bunch of us, so it's all y'all.
It ain't you all, it's y'all.
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 Y'all. All y'all cool.
All y'all. What is it? Did you hear that, Proteus? That was a good one. All right, let's go. There you go. Do you have a delay, guys? So just bear with me. Hit it.
Yes, indeed, JJ Tony. It's good to hear that entrance music one more time. And as I said, if I was an MMA fighter, that's the song I would use. I might get a little too pumped up, have a little adrenaline dump on the way to the cage, but that's what I would do. How are you guys? I am swimming in tax receipts. How are you?
Oh, did
you
my taxes already?
Yeah, it's getting to. Did you hear Marco?
What's that?
Let's meet the star, guys. Hit the music, because all my exes live in Texas. Hit it.
Marco from Ecuador. I want to start on a Debbie Downer song today. So yesterday, my grandpa Julio, 98 years old, passed away. Rest in peace, grandpa.
Oh, I'm sorry.
98, man. Don't feel too bad for the guy because he almost lived a century. He was 2 years short of a century. So, you know, he beat all the odds. You know, he lived a good life, man. A good dude, you know, I remember him when I was a kid, and, you know, he passed away yesterday, like, everybody got an expiration date, and he was way overdue, but, you know, he beat all the odds, so, you know, rest in peace, you're looking up from the top, and if you're looking up for the bottom, you're having a good time either way, you know? Rest in peace, Grandpa Julio.
let's give him, though, honestly, yeah, let's give him a moment of silence. I mean, that's 98 years old is something else, but gosh, a good man. So let's give him just a moment of silence. All right, guys, let's get to this. We go as the one and only Claudia Gadelha, that of course would be, or of course, as Big Brown would say, Gadeja would say.
Do it.
Thank you, Claudia. All right. Let's talk about this, guys. We didn't get to do this, Proteus. I honestly miss doing the This Week in MMA. I've been a little too lazy. We've been enjoying family time. As Proteus says, life gets in the way. And frankly, we had 8 weeks straight, guys, of MMA. But let's get to it. As Marco would say, UFC triple dupes. And this, of course, brought to you by Lavasi International.
Welcome to another edition of Amp Radio, brought to you by Lavassi International. Lavassi International is bringing masculine designs to your bathroom. Lavassi is the exclusive retailer of handcrafted ceramic sink, combining a handmade manufacturing process with an industrial finish. If you're looking for something different, check out their tribal design, spike design, or puzzle design, just to name a few. Lavassi International, lavassi.co.uk. Let me spell that for you. LOVASI.co.uk. Now shipping to the United States of America and Canada. Use the code word FANGOS to receive 25% off any purchase. Now back to the show.
I'm stealing from Marco.
Give me the freshman.
The $50,000 bonuses to Sean O'Malley and, of course, as Dana White would say, that guy, Andre Sukumtaw. Really? You can't even say Andre? Andre S? Andre 3000, nothing, guys?
3000? I'm telling you. Don't mess it up for everybody.
A performance of the night going to T-City, Brian Ortega, who I owe an apology to, and Alexander Hernandez, who's in Mortgage. So shout out to Alexander Hernandez, or maybe not anymore, although he beat my boy, Daniil Dariush. Proteus, I'm going to start off with you. To the women's, yes, as you say, the mythical women's featherweight division we went. Chris Cyborg defeated Yana Kunitskaya in the first round. Tammy and I were off a round, but we all had it pegged the same way. TKO, yeah, in the first. Any surprises, Pro?
No.
Well, I just wanted to I just wanted to go and recap real quick. I wanted to give congratulations to Pam for winning 2 weeks in a row.
Thank you.
Way to go, Pammy.
Yeah, look at you, Bobby.
That Mackenzie Dern fight that she changed at the last minute really helped her out. So congratulations to you, Pammy.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Is my check in the mail?
Wait. Wait, Pam, don't go to your head. Oh, don't let it go to your head. Oh, wait a second. It won't go too high anyway because you're short.
No, I know. I know, right? Let's see, but not when I wear my heels, though. And then I'm like five. I can wear 5-inch heels, and then I'm 5 feet tall. No, I'm kidding.
Hilarious. I love it.
Guys, let's get into this. So, Cyborg defeating Kunitskaya. Pro, any surprises there?
No surprises at all, to be honest with you. I think the only surprise was that Kunitskaya did manage to get a takedown. But, of course, Chris gets back to her feet and then, you know, ends up finishing the fight. The one thing, though, Tony, I thought was it was kind of embarrassing for the UFC, really. In my opinion, I mean, we see that Chris Cyborg obviously is a fantastically talented fighter. You know, we've talked about Chris in the past, and we've kind of talked about how, you know, she's the only one in this division. I mean, basically, it is Chris Cyborg. She has not fought anyone who is a legitimate 145 pounder since she's been in the UFC. However, her boxing, to be honest with you, DJ Tony, has looked much better the past two fights under Jason Perillo. You know, the footwork is getting better. She's not, I mean, she showed some aggressive tendencies in this fight against Kunitskaya, but that's just because they were there. They were available. She could fight that way. Against Holly Holm, she fought a completely different fight. And I know this is long-winded, but, you know, what I want to say is her boxing game is definitely improved, Tony, and you know, she was just fighting a girl that she shouldn't have been in there with.
I agree with you, Proteus. Pam, you called it. You said that Chris Cyborg was going to be a little more patient, kind of play around with her food, I believe. I might have taken that quote wrong, but kind of play around with it and, of course, finish her off. I thought she'd be doing the same thing in the second. But I don't think Kunitskaya embarrassed herself. What say you, Pammy?
No, I don't think she embarrassed herself because it's kind of like, you know, when you've got like a big person and a little person, and the little person goes and just like really sneaky plants a good chingazo on the big person, and you know, at least she got a couple of good shots in before she got her ass beat. You know what I'm saying? So I think she did well. I mean, I think she did better than other people thought she was going to do, because it was almost like punching the giant and then, you know, like poking the bear with the stick, and you get a couple of good pokes in there, and then all hell broke loose.
So. Marco, I heard you loud and clear when you called Junkie, and you've been very animate, but let me ask you this. I mean, you've been very animate about Megan Anderson being the next fight. There's a lot of topic about, of course, and again, I'll steal from Proteus, some mythical featherweight division. I know you're a big Megan Anderson fan, so am I, but is that really the next fight that you think is the only fight to be made? Because I actually like Tammy's girl fighting Cyborg.
Okay, so let's start saying that we gave Cyborg one of her 3 to 4 feedings a year, because she's like a freaking crocodile. She doesn't need to eat more than that. You know, she's the T-Rex eating the goat on Jurassic Park. But, well, the Amanda Nunes fight is not happening right now in Rio because they just announced Raquel Pennington and Amanda
Nunes.
Yeah,
but that makes no sense.
Yeah.
I agree with Pam.
Yeah,
no
well,
sense at all.
The natural fix for Rio was, you know, Cyborg Amanda Nunes, but, you know, Tito Ortiz opened his big fat mouth on the freaking post-fight press conference saying, no, don't say Rio, say July. And I guess they got tougher negotiations, so the UFC went with Amanda. And I think because of that, the Megan Anderson fight is next for Cyborg. Because, you know, they're trying to put all their chips on International Fight Week, and you know, the UFC, I guess, put their foot down because at the big headline, like Cyborg Amanda Nunes, was huge for Rio de Janeiro, you know? But it is what it is. I mean, I want that Megan Anderson fight because it is a more natural weight class for Cyborg. And let's say Amanda does her job on May, and then Cyborg does her job in June or July, whenever they want to push her to fight Megan. Let's say that Amanda Nunes Cyborg fight for New York, Madison Square Garden in November, you know? Because that would be another natural fit for a big fight like that. Sad that we didn't get it on Rio, but it makes sense, man. I mean, Cyborg play with her food. Not really, because in 3 minutes she finishes here. And,
fast food.
Let's talk about this because this is a free for run show. I mean, we literally can go in any direction we want to go, but let's talk about this. I want to get back to UFC 222, but I do want to talk about this because Marco segued perfectly, and we have one of the biggest Amanda Nunes fans in the world, probably the only one. Damn, but UFC 224. Let's talk about this because I was taken aback. I didn't know that this fight was announced until just now that Marco said it, but we have three fights booked. Amanda Nunes versus Raquel Pennington, who really, any way you want to slice it, Proteus, she's a 500 fighter. I mean, a little over 500. Vitor Belfort versus Lyoto Machida. I like that. Loser probably leaves the UFC, probably. And, of course, Jacare versus Kelvin Gastelum. Proteus, are you good with this Amanda Nunes versus Raquel Pennington fight?
Listen, I think that this is good on the UFC. Giving, you know, their word to Pennington, and then, you know, Pennington got seriously injured, and then, you know, now they're finally going to give it to her. I think, honestly, that, you know, Chris Cyborg saved the day. I mean, she apparently saved this card from utter death, but, you know, that was a quick turnaround for Chris. And we, as we know with Cyborg, she'd like to, you know, take some time off in between fights. And I think this is what's kind of filtering in here, guys. I think, you know, Amanda Nunes' fight is going to be there, as Marco said, as long as she can get past Pennington. And, but, you know, I don't know how good Pennington's going to look. And as you said, you know, kind of a 500 fighter, but she deserves the shot. They don't even need to do Megan Anderson. They can just have, you know, that particular fight with Pennington, and then just have her turn right around and fight Chris. You know what I mean? Like, Amanda can probably do that if she doesn't get injured. Again, Megan Anderson is kind of, we don't know what's happening with her. You know what I mean? If she's in the UFC, she's getting paid by the UFC, but we haven't seen her fight yet. And I guess Marco had alluded to her problems. And, you know, I would like to see Megan Anderson next for the same reason Marco would like to see Megan Anderson, just to see her fight some, Chris Cyborg fight someone who is actually around her size. So no, in the roundabout way, in the longest way possible, Tony, I don't have a problem with it.
Pam, I got to go to you on this because you're the biggest Amanda Nunes fan I know. Honestly, you're the only person I know that's an Amanda Nunes fan. Not joking. So I will go to you on this. Really? Raquel Pennington, I know she won 4 straight, guys, but she was 5-5 before beating Jessica Andrade. Good fight. Beat Beth Correa slightly. beat the beautiful Elizabeth Phillips. And of course, she did beat Misha Tate, who didn't want to be in the fight after the first round. I got to go to you, Pam. What say you?
Okay, I don't know why this fight is happening truthfully, because I would hope that with her coming off of this really bad injury that she had, you would think that they would give her kind of like a warm-up fight. That's another one. Let's throw her to the Lions, because they fought once before.
The Lioness.
And Amanda, I mean, she's getting better. Every time she keeps getting better and better. So I don't know if this is, like we said, going to be like a quick turnaround fight, and they are going to have things ready for fight week in July. But it makes no sense. It was like, man, this poor girl just, you know, broke her leg, and, you know, you're going to make her get her ass beat?
I don't like this fight, guys, but go ahead, Marco.
I like it because, for lack of a better, you know, I make the point that there is a lot of championship fights up there available for the UFC right now. You know, I went through the list. You know, we got TJ, Mighty Mouse, we got Shevchenko, Montano, we got now Raquel Pennington, Nunez, we got the Cyborg Anderson fight, they're blooming, Ortega, Holloway, we got Woodley versus either RDA or Kobe Covington, and then we got, of course, Bobby Knuckles and the Cuban Missile Crisis, Cuban Muscle Crisis, Joel Romero. So there is championship fights available. But if the fight that everybody wanted, that is Cyborg Nunez, is not going to happen in Rio, you need a big, you know, championship headliner for Brazil. And the only other, you know, Brazilian champion available is Amanda Nunez. And she took the fight. I mean, I think she's probably, you know, she thinks she's going to win the fight, make a good payday, you know, and then wait for Cyborg to decide whether she's going to fight Anderson or fight her. Even if Cyborg decides to fight Anderson before Amanda, she makes $500,000 just to show up to be that Pira Kuneskaya. Just for showing up, just for stepping into the cage, her reported payday was $500,000. Not counting pay-per-views, and it's trending to go over 300,000, and that's a good pay-per-view in this day and age, you know. So she's gonna make extra coin on that. How many minutes of work did she do? 3 minutes.
Three.
$1 million for 3 minutes of work. I want that job.
That's crazy.
No counting pay-per-views. So, yeah, it makes sense. You know, just for the sake of the card. You know, it's Rio de Janeiro. Usually, it's huge crowds. You know, they got global that gets broadcast to over 12 million people every time they fly up there. So. Yeah, it's going to be okay in Brazil, dude. So, for that reason, I agree with the fight.
Tony, why don't you like the fight?
Me?
I don't like it because I think you asked me, right, Pro, or did you ask Pammy?
Yeah, I did. Tony.
Yeah, you know,
Tony.
I don't like the fight for the simple reason I didn't like Kunitskaya fighting Cyborg or anybody going up against Cyborg. I think Amanda Nunes is going to finish Raquel Pennington, who doesn't. I like Rocky, but Rocky's not a champion. Rocky's not even a top-tier fighter, guys. So to think that it's going to be...
Hang on, Marco. Hang on. Just let Tony finish.
Go ahead, brother. I'm sorry. I'm a little bit...
But no. I'll throw to you on this, Marco. But to think, Marco, that we're going to see something different, Raquel Pennington doesn't stand a chance against Nunes, Marco.
Well, this is MMA, first of all. Who else are you going to put? I mean, Holly Holm just lost to Cyborg. Sarah McMahon just lost. Kat Zingano just lost. Juliana Peña is pregnant, so she can't fight. On the rankings alone, Raquel Pennington is on a 4-5 winning streak, and her last win was against a former champion, Misha Tate. Regardless whether or not Misha Tate wanted to be on the fight or not, she took the fight, and she beat the ex-champion, you know? So on the ranks of deserving the fight, Raquel Pennington deserved the fight. She was supposed to fight last year, but she got hurt. Now she's available, and she took the fight too. It's not like they freaking twist her arm and say, "Do you have to take this fight or you will never get it?" You know, say, "You want the fight?" She say, "Yeah, let me have it." I mean, you know how MMA is. Nobody thought Holly Holm got a chance against freaking Ronda Rousey. Nobody freaking saw that TJ Dillashaw got a chance against Kenan Barrow back on the day. Nobody saw Frankie Edgar could beat BJ Penn. You never know what is going to happen on an MMA fight. And Raquel Pennington, for whatever you think of her, she's still a fighter, man, and she's a pretty talented fighter.
All right, so I'll give you guys this, and then we'll move on, because I really do want to move on to the rest of UFC 222 for now, guys. But I will tell you this. So I'll go through this quickly. I would like to see, I'll tell you, two fighters. You mentioned who else? How about Caitlin Vieira, who's a much bigger fighter? And I'll give you one more. True. And yeah, she's a friend to the show. How about Marion Renault, who has won four straight and is a big, bigger fighter than Rocky? Listen, no offense to Rocky, but if I was to ask you right now, guys, how many finishes does Raquel Pennington have in her last 10 fights? How many do you think, how many finishes do you think she has?
None.
I don't know.
One that we know of, right? And maybe Raquel Puahui. Yeah. So it's like, listen, guys, and that was like many, many years ago. I don't think we're going to see anything special out of her. But let's move on, guys, because I'll tell you who we're going to be something special and who I owe an apology to, not because I didn't think he was a great fighter or a talented fighter in Brian Ortega, but I didn't think that anyone could finish off Frankie Edgar, and Protea said it. You know what? Maybe the fact that Frankie Edgar's never been finished, now it's time to worry. So let's go to you, Marco. Ryan Ortega, T-City, defeats Frankie Edgar in the first round with a KO.
What a holy shit moment. Because that's the first one out of my mouth when I saw that uppercut. Like, holy shit! But, wow. Man, I told you Ryan Ortega could just freaking grab all our freaking predictions and jinx it all out and make us eat our words. He made me eat my words. I'm impressed with the kid, and I'm hyped, man. I mean, the kid got the summations. Everybody went like, ooh, when he grabbed Frankie's neck. Everyone was like, holy shit, holding their breath. And then that elbow and that uppercut, think of beauty, man. He lifted poor Frankie off his feet, man. That's so rude. You don't do that to Frankie. But, okay, we got Brian Ortega, Max Holloway, 27-year-old Brian Ortega, 26-year-old young champion Max Holloway. What else you want, man? Hopefully they get, the rumors are that they're trying to do the Hawaii show in August. You know, they're trying to negotiate with some government freaking department out there in Hawaii that won $5 million and the UFC wants to pay $2.5 million. So they had to meet in between because of, you know, that's the issue they're trying to iron out. But it would be a great freaking fight for Hawaii, man. And a new star is born. The kid got all the intangibles, man. A good-looking guy. Good heart, good on the mic, excellent on the cage, undefeated against Max Holloway. We know everything about Max Holloway. We want to talk about the fight when it comes. And Frankie, don't sell Frankie low, you know. I mean, he's still ranked number 3 as a featherweight. It's not like he's too far away for ever getting a championship shot, even though he's 36. And he can always visit bantamweight. He can always drop, and he will immediately get a fight with, like, Dominic Cruz or Cody Garbrandt just for a number one contender fight. And immediately fight for the championship after Dillashaw should get done with Mighty Mouse, you know, whatever way that fight goes. So, epic. That knockout was epic, and a new star is born. The new Lions are freaking taking out the old guard, and that's what we need in MMA right now.
Yeah, Marco, I agree with you 100% with what you just said there. I mean, I said it, as you mentioned earlier on, before this fight happened. You know, Frankie Edgar had not gotten finished. Time catches up with everyone. And, you know, Frankie's still a legend. He's still going to go, you know, first ballot Hall of Famer, no matter what happens from here on out. And people are asking, or they're calling for his retirement, or is he done? No, he's not done, man. He got caught by a young up-and-comer who put a beautiful elbow on his chin and knocked him into the land of wind and ghosts. I mean, Frankie was still on his feet, as we see Frankie always do, but he wasn't there, man. There was no way he was there just by what Brian Ortega was able to do with that huge uppercut. I mean, Francis Ngannou and Brian Ortega probably have the two nastiest uppercuts of, recent memory.
You know what you hear when he throws an uppercut? Oh, you get!
Yeah, big time. That's a good one. That's a good one. No, yeah, it was an incredible knockout. Like Chad Dundas said, you know, reached back into the rafters for that one. Beautiful knockout. I mean, and Frankie was a gentleman afterwards. You know what I mean? Frankie came up to him and said, great job, you know, and it was a great job. And I said to you guys on this show when we previewed UFC 222, when Cyborg decided to save the card, I said, if Brian Ortega is able to beat Frankie Edgar, the sky is the limit. And the sky is the limit for this fella. As Margo said, great on the mic, good personality. But can the UFC take advantage of that star power? I mean, they're feeding Brian Ortega directly to the champion, which they should do. If Max Holloway beats him, I don't know. I mean, that's just the nature of the game. The UFC is not great at building stars. We've know this. You've got the UFC president coming out and saying the fighters need to make themselves stars. So I hope they don't drop the ball on Brian Ortega. I as you said, Marco, we will preview that fight when it comes to us. But the sky's the limit, DJ Tony. I promise you, with Brian Ortega, he's just getting better every single fight. We have seen him put new chinks into his armor. I'm very impressed.
You know what?
And he's a good guy. He's a good guy.
Ortega and Holloway, not the first time you'll see them fight. These guys are going to fight multiple times through their
career. Good point, Marco.
26 and 27. So they will see it at least two more times, man.
Pammy, I want to get you going in here because it seems like I haven't heard your beautiful voice in quite some time. So, Pammy, Brian Ortega defeated Frankie Edgar, and your boy, Sean O'Malley, defeated Andre. Who the F is that guy? I like Andre Sukumta. Defeated Andre Sukumta. Pammy, I'm going to throw to you for both of those.
Okay. Well, you know, the Ortega and Edgar fight, it was like happy and sad at the same time. You know what I mean? It was sad to see Frankie lose, but you know, Brian Ortega, oh my gosh, what a breath of fresh air from all the, you know, bullshit that we're seeing and the healing, the king of French fries, you know, talking shit, but what a fucking breath of fresh air. I mean, this guy is classy. He's well-spoken. He does great things for the community. I mean, just an amazing win for him. And I mean, this is that fight that everybody was having a hard time picking because both of these guys are so likable and, you know, excellent traits. And, I mean, mad skills, both of them. But I mean, you know what? I wouldn't have Frankie lose to anybody but him. Do you know what I mean? It was just, he's just gracious and I think he's just such a breath of fresh air, and it's nice to see some new blood coming in and new blood that we actually give a shit about. You know what I mean?
What, Pammy, what say you? Sean O'Malley, is he the next big star? I mean, we're seeing a lot of stars here, possibly. Brian Ortega, seeing Mackenzie Dern, maybe Yana Kunitskaya, maybe Alexander Hernandez, but let's talk about your boy, Sean O'Malley.
Well, you know, that was my spotlight fight, and we didn't talk about that fight last week. That was one of the fights that we missed, but that was one of my spotlight fights. This guy is funny. He's like quirky. He's got these crazy moves. He's very unorthodox. He's goofy looking. He looks like a Charms blow pop, you know, skinny with the big head. But he does amazing things, and he's got great personality. His off-camera persona, he looks like some dude from the 70s. He has his own weed strain named after him. Yeah, I think so. But, you know, going back to what we were talking about, when Dana said that these guys need to market themselves, I think that's kind of a little bit of, you know, bullshit on his part because he kind of promotes who he wants to promote, and everybody else can promote themselves, so... You know, I don't agree with that. They have to promote themselves. He has his favorites that he, you know, bends over for. And I think this Sean O'Malley is going to be one of them.
Yeah, Pam, I agree with you that, you know, O'Malley is very, very intriguing. When he showed up on my screen in Embedded, I was like, who is this guy running his mouth? And to be honest with you guys, I thought this fight could have been ended at the end of the first when Sukumta was just, you know, plodding around trying not to fall on his face between the first and second round. I would have been happy with the stoppage there because Sukumta clearly was not there in the third round when O'Malley hurt himself throwing a question mark kick, I believe it was.
Oh, my gosh.
All Sukumta had to do to win that fight was not wrestle. And he just
exactly. You made me think about that. All he had to do was, not take him to the ground and keep him on his feet, and he would have won that fight because they would have stopped that fight. But, you
exactly.
know, that's what happens when you don't listen to your corner.
Well, I don't think, Pam, he was able to listen to his corner. Like I said, that first round was enough for me. And O'Malley showed us a lot of glitz and glamour. I don't know if that's going to be able to fly with the best of the best in that division. Sugum Tao, of course, as you mentioned, DJ Tony, very talented individual, but as O'Malley had stated on in the embedded, you know, kind of one-dimensional. And we kind of saw that. He seemed not to know, DJ Tony, what to do. I mean, maybe it was because he was seeing so many different things from O'Malley. You know, O'Malley was throwing, you know, legs, punches, moving around.
Oh, everything. It's like throwing them all at the same time, you know. It's like a fucking octopus.
Exactly. And maybe that stunned Sugum Tao and just was not, he was just not able to counter that aggressive onslaught of offense. Look, again, the same question here. The two names that came out of this card for me were Ortega and O'Malley, because O'Malley showed a great deal of heart. And when he turned away the ref and said, "I don't tap," you know, that's the kind of stuff we want to see. Even if it's detrimental to his career, that's what we want to see. And, of course, the interview with Joe Rogan, priceless. But we've got to move on because I could talk forever on this one. Marco, I want to get your opinion on O'Malley, Sugum Tao. And then, of course, I want you to talk about Struve and Arlovski. So let's get you to go on O'Malley first and then into the pit bull fight.
Welcome to the Sugar Show. I love this kid. If you saw the Dana White Contender Series in UFC Fight Pass, you would know that, you know, Sean O'Malley made his mark there, and he got the seal of approval from the one and only Snoop Doggy Dogg. After his fight ended, he went to the commentary box of Uriah Faber and Snoop Dogg were, like, commenting, and, you know, they celebrated with some, you know, Snoop Dogg special. I love Sugar Sean O'Malley. The guy got charisma. He got a flashy style. He's a skillful as hell. You cannot deny the skill and the speed of this kid. And he got grit, man. Anybody else would have quit on that freaking busted leg, but he grinded it out, you know. A little bit of a lack of fighting IQ from Sugum Tao, but still, you know, O'Malley found a way to finish the fight and win on all the judges' cards with a couple of 10-8s on the first round. An epic post-fight interview with Joe Rogan, man. That is the stuff that to get on the back of your head and you remember for a long time. When it comes to Arlovski and Struve, good for Arlovski. I didn't think he was going to win. This guy keeps reinventing himself at 39 years old. Struve learned how to freaking use your damn reach. God damn it, man. Someone too tall. What a waste. What a freaking waste. And all of a sudden, Andrei Arlovski turned into a wrestler, man. Good for Andrei Arlovski, man. I mean, he's never going to be a champion again, you know, just to get in front of him the likes like Ngannou that already beat him. Then you get a Stipe that already beat him. You get Overeem that always a problem. If Marhan and Arlovski fight next, and I would love the fight, I put my money in Marhan. There you go. So, yeah, it's a good fight. A lot of eye poking, a lot of fence grabbing. But at the end of the day, good for Andrei Arlovski. We're showing a new wrinkle to his game.
So what we saw was Andrei Arlovski, the pit bull, really taking over and fighting, as I like to say, a box of chocolates. Stefan Struve, you never know what you're going to get. I'll tell you, I have an 81-inch, over an 81-inch reach, and I'm telling you, even I think, fight longer than Stefan Struve. But you know what, Proteus? Caitlin Vieira proved me wrong. No, I said I have an 81. Caitlin Vieira defeated, not joking, Caitlin Vieira defeated Kat Zingano, Proteus, in a split decision. I think this was a matter of ring rust. And, of course, the non-boring fight, Proteus, Mackenzie Dern defeated the beautiful Ashley Spider Monkey Yoder Pro. What say you about Kat?
Yeah, okay. So, guys, we're gonna lump these two fights in together, and then we'll move on down the line. Listen, I don't know how anybody in their right mind scored that fight for Kat Zingano, and we can talk about judging.
What?
We can talk about judging, and we can talk about what happened with the referees in this particular event, because it was some strange events going on. I thought I was in the Twilight Zone for a while. Vieira looked very good. Again, as
set the record for the split decisions around the UFC event, by the way.
Indeed, right? So, I mean, we don't need to talk about Nevada and their sketchy ways any more than we already have in past shows. So go back in the archives and go ahead and listen to that. Let's get back to these two fights, because Vieira looked very good to me. Yes, she looked like she got a little bit exhausted, and Marco or Pam will throw to you guys on this one as well, but she looked like she got a little exhausted near the end of the fight. And of course, Kat Zingano showed a great deal of heart, and if we were judging and scoring on heart, Kat Zingano would have won this fight, no doubt about it. The Yoder versus Dern fight, again, saying that this is the winner for Pam. Pam actually got everything right in this particular fight. Not only did she pick Dern, she picked her by decision, yada, yada, yada. So congratulations again, Pam. I thought that it wasn't a great performance to me by Dern. Again, we're under the bright lights. She's a regional fighter up until this point, a specialist in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, finally in the third round. She was able to get the fight where she wanted it to be. And, that third round probably won the fight for her. I thought Yoder hung in there very nicely and, looked good doing it. Pam, let's throw to you on these two fights real quickly, and then we'll go to Marco to get his opinion.
Okay, I liked Kitlick. I told you she's a black belt in judo and black belt in jiu-jitsu. Yeah. And I think what happened was, I don't think it was so much ring rust. I think that, Kat is a very aggressive fighter. And she was kind of fighting with that Mike Perry mentality where I'm going to knock her out and not looking at the big picture. And I think a lot of people just actually underestimated the skills of Kitlick. And I think she did kind of gas out at the end, but it was an okay fight. It was just a pretty good fight, but we were talking about if Kitlin hadn't fought this fight, I would have liked to see her and Pennington fight before, moving on to Amanda Nunes. But anyways, and the Dern, McKenzie Dern fight, to me, it was boring. I told you it was going to be boring, and glad she won, but only because I picked her to win. But yeah, it was just not my favorite fight tonight. Not that I'm a fighter, but it's just, her debut, she live and learn. That's right. Live and learn.
Yeah, Marco, as I had mentioned, maybe Dern had a little bit of the octagon jitters. And of course, as Pam was saying, that judo background for Vieta, but I think they also mentioned that she had some definite wrestling skills as well on the broadcast. Yeah. Marco, what do you got for these two fights?
So Vieta is a Brazilian national champion on wrestling, so
exactly.
Yeah, she got the grappling down back. And I mean, it's not like we haven't seen Kat Zingano being taken down before, because she's so over aggressive. She's been taken down by the likes of Amanda Nunes. She's been taken down famously by Ronda Rousey on the 14-second twist and armbar that happened so quickly. And that judo toss that Vieira hit was a thing of beauty. But let's not forget, while this fight was on their feet, Zingano was getting the better of Vieira, and on the third round, she got her moment there. For a second, it got really exciting. It looked like Vieira was a little bit rocked, and then, of course, the clinch, and Vieira was able to take it out to the mat again. But, a lot of ring rust showed up on that. Kat Zingano, she has some work to do. I mean, she cannot be fighting once every year and a half. It doesn't do good for career. And she's getting up in age, too. She's in her mid-30s. So if she wants to make a run, she has to start to make it out and fight right away. When it comes to Mackenzie Dern, I was on the hype, I realized that she's not Ronda Rousey. She's not finishing everybody in 15 seconds. The girl, we can tell, on the ground, she's super skilled. So she's not like let's not compare her with like a freaking Paige VanZant. The girl got some legit jiu-jitsu. World champion jiu-jitsu competitor. She beat Gabby Garcia on the freaking open weight and on a jiu-jitsu tournament on points.
Yep.
So if it gets to the mat, the girl is legit. Now she has to learn how to get it to the mat, because her wrestling is lacking and her striking needs a lot of work. Let's take a look. She's young. She's 24. She's 24, and let's slowly but surely build her up. Good fight, though. I mean, good for her. She learned a lot on those 50 minutes of work that she got.
Yeah, I don't think that was a boring fight at all. I do have to disagree. I listen, there's no doubt about it. Mackenzie Dern needs work. Ashley Yoder is a good mid-level fighter. I mean, obviously, she has some work to be done, as well as many of the women in the strawweight, but I honestly thought that was a good fight. Listen, we're going to have to move on to Emmett Stevens, because I do want to talk about that. But Alexander Hernandez defeats our boy Daniil Dariush. I definitely want to say, Benny, you know, take some time off, but he certainly has some fight left. I'm not even going to go into the John Dodson fight. You guys know how I feel about that. But let's get into this, guys, because we didn't get a chance to talk about this at all. UFC on Fox, Emmett versus Stevens. This main event is brought to you by Green Life.
Are you looking for a new way to stay fit and healthy? At Green Life Vitality, we work with you to customize your fitness plan and your nutrition plan. We also teach you how to prepare meals for your busy life. Visit us online at greenlifevitality.com. Use the code AMPRADIO for your free consultation.
And let's get into it. UFC on Fox, Emmett versus Stevens. We didn't get a chance to do this week in MMA. This was held a couple weeks ago, February 24th at the Amway Center in Orlando, Florida. Shout out to Disney World. And the reason why I want to bring this up is I want your take on this, guys, because to me, it's clear that there was an illegal knee thrown. And of course, there was some punching on the back of the head. I get the fact that they were moving, but that's what I saw. So, Pam, I'm going to go to you on this one. Jeremy Stevens defeated Josh Emmett at UFC Orlando. A lot to take in there, but let's get to you on that. What say you about that particular fight and the finish?
You know, there was I was trying to look at the replay, and it just seemed like from certain angles it looked illegal, and then from a different angle it looked like, well, maybe it's not. So I don't know. I'm not a fighter, but I wonder if when you're in the motion or in the act and everything, you don't hear anything because you're concentrating on what you're doing. Did they not hear? I don't know. It's questionable because, like I say, from certain angles, it looks like, okay, now this isn't, it's not. So I don't know what to say. I think Emmett was going to, wasn't he going to dispute that win?
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's going to. Yeah,
but I'm here. It was just questionable to me, so I can't say. Oh man, and I don't think it was something that was done intentionally or with malice, or it was done on purpose. I think it was just something in the heat of the moment, and you can't stop, you know.
Yeah, I think there's a bit of a gray area here, as you mentioned, Pam. Again, I want to strongly say that the third man in the ring or in the octagon needs to do his job or her job correctly. And the intent to throw to the head of a downed fighter, and no matter what, it doesn't matter which particular rule set you are in under, whether you were under the new unified rules or the non-new unified rules, that Josh Emmett was a downed fighter. Now, if Jeremy Stevens was, searching for the chest or the shoulder, you know, I could understand that. The intent was there. He said it in the post fight that he was intentionally throwing to the head. So I don't know whether or not, like I said, Pam, it's a gray area right now. And the rules and the explanation of the rules need to change. We need to get more, we need to get more clarification on what things mean, and we need to give these referees more power to do their job. DJ Tony, yeah, Emmett is going to appeal. I don't think that Emmett's going to have any success with that, because if the knee would have landed in an impressive fashion, then of course we'd have photographic and video evidence of that. I want to be able to punish intent, but I don't know if we can do that at this particular time, Tony.
Here's the thing though, guys, after the knee was thrown, if Dan Mergliotta would have stopped the fight after it was thrown, right? Because it landed coming back down, may not have been slight, but if they would have stopped the fight right there, and if CB Dalloway said, I can't continue, or rather, I'm already going into the other fight. But if Josh Emmett would have said, I can't continue, then guess what? Even just giving him a few minutes, he may have recovered. So that's important to note there, because what if the fight would have stopped? I do think that someone like, perhaps like Big John McCarthy would have stopped the fight. But Marco, I'm going to throw to you on this one. I'm going to throw to you on, of course, this fight, which was the Emmett Stevens fight. And I'm also going to throw to the Lombard because we also saw that too with Lombard CB Dalloway. So Marco, throw in to you.
Okay, so no, you cannot penalize intent, you know. I always get reminded of the knee that Anderson Silva threw to Chael Sonnen. He hit him in the chest and his leg hit Chael Sonnen in the face, but that was deemed a legal knee because it was intended for the chest and it hit the chest. You can always penalize the actual act, you know. Now, it's a little bit of a gray area, like Tony said, when it comes to the knee to the head, because the knee never hit flat, it kind of grazed in it. So there was not this dramatic, you know, head walking back or anything like that. And it wasn't actually the blow that ended the fight. It was the elbows that followed after Emmett collapsed with the left hook that Steven launched. And, you know, those two massive elbows that broke the orbital bone of Emmett that ended the fight. But it is a gray area. You're right, I don't see that too much is going to happen with the appeal because during the fight itself, the third person on the cage, the referee, did not stop the fight. And if he wouldn't stop the fight, it wouldn't necessarily mean there was going to be a disqualification. I mean, remember the Poirier Alvarez fight ended in a no contest. And the other option for them, because it was the third round, the second round, because a good portion of the fight had already happened, if the fight couldn't continue, it would go directly to the judge's scorecard. Whatever the judge's scorecard was at that point would have decided the fight. And that is the other option the referee got. And probably Jeremy Stephen would have won anyway. So it's not immediately a disqualification according to the rules. Now, when it comes to the other fight that we saw just this past weekend, CB Dalloway versus the other Cuban muscle crisis, Hector Lombard, what the fuck, Hector? I mean, Horn, twice the referee says time, push his hands in between, and he still threw those two punches and knocked Dalloway out, man. Either way, I mean, a lot of people say that Dalloway milked it out or whatever, but still, dude, the referee on this particular case did his job, stopped the fight and disqualified Arthur Lomba because those were clearly two illegal blows after the horn. I hope that would happen in the Holmes versus the Red and Danny fight because exactly the same situation happened and that referee didn't do shit about it, but this referee did his job and it was a just disqualification. So Hector Lombard can appeal all he wants. He was on the run. I don't think he was malicious on the intent, but he's a veteran of 40-plus fights, so he should know better by now. And they do get a reputation of being a little bit of a jerk when it comes to practices on his own freaking gym in Miami. So take that for what it's worth.
Yeah, Marco, I think you're 100%. Quickly, sorry, Tony. I just want to quickly comment because Hector Lombard does have a past in this, and I think that, you know, we can explain it out true. For him all we want, but I think you're right. I think you're right there, Marco. Go ahead, Tony. Sorry.
Darn, very true. And it's tough because I love Valerie Letourneau, and I'm saying that because Valerie Letourneau, of course, is Hector Lombard's girlfriend. So it's tough to hear that. And shout out to Showtime, of course, who was there. But let's talk about this, guys, before we get into the mirror ball or the Christmas ornament that is Verdum Volkov. I don't know if you guys saw that poster, but that looks either like the movie Phantasm or like a Christmas ornament. Take a look at that, guys, and tell me I'm crazy there. But I do want to ask you guys this, and I'm stealing from the MMA beat here, and I'm sorry, I've had a lot of chance to listen to podcasts recently. Sorry, because we've had some breaks. But let's get into this, guys. Of the people that we saw, and I want you guys to give me in order the people that we saw, because we always talk about the UFC not having stars. And I think what we saw is the fact that there may be some emerging stars. So of the three people, specifically shout out to Marco on this one, UFC Triple Deuce, we saw Yana Kunitskaya, we saw Brian Ortega, we saw Sean O'Malley, what is wrong with my voice today, guys? We saw Caitlin Vieira, we saw Mackenzie Dern, we saw Alexander Hernandez. Your top three, guys, of the stars, and let me go first on this one, guys. I'm going to go Brian Ortega, Mackenzie Dern, no doy, right? And actually, you know what, maybe Sean O'Malley first, Brian Ortega, and Mackenzie Dern. Pam, I'm going to you. Your top three stars of any of the people that fought at UFC 222 or Emmett versus Stevens.
I have to go with, of course, Brian Ortega because he's been a hot commodity for a couple of months now, and I called it on one of our shows. But Brian Ortega, Sugar O'Malley, definitely, because he's crazy and I love it. And I would say Mackenzie Dern, just because of the hype that she's getting. But Brian Ortega for sure.
Sorry. Tony, if I may, I'm going to throw back for my first star to UFC Fight Night, Emmett versus Stevens. Aleer Latifi is able to take out OSP, you know me, in impressive fashion. I mean, I think Aleer put himself back on the map here, Tony. I think that, you know, we have to watch out for him moving forward. As for UFC 222, I did mention that I thought Ortega and O'Malley really showed out. And, of course, the other performance of the night, Hermendez, I mean, that was an impressive win, too. So that's four people for you, four up-and-coming stars. Let's hope the UFC can do something with them.
Okay, I'm going to give you, of course, Ortega. He's like, because he got out of this fight, he got a championship fight with Holloway. So that is number one by far. O'Malley and Hernandez. Hernandez, just because nobody expected him to beat Benil Dariush the way he did. And the guy not only got impressive knockout power, he gets shot like a cannon, but he's good on the mic and he's a smart guy. But an honorable mention, Cody Stadon, that beat freaking Brian Carraway on the Fight Pass Prelims, man. He took Carraway's spot, and that's the guy you're going to keep an eye on, bantamweight, bro. Cody Stadon.
Indeed.
Guys, let's close on this. So one thing I always like to do is have fun with you guys and get to know our stars. So we're going to get to know our stars, get to know our hosts, right? Am I right, Proteus? Is this something we should do?
Yeah, sure, go for it. Everybody else is interesting but me. I'm very boring.
You know, the drops aren't even going. Never mind. All right, guys. So let's say you're stranded on an island. Stranded on an island. You can only bring two DVDs with you, two movies on your iPad, whatever you want to say. Two movies with you, just like Wally, for the rest of your life. Pam, I'm going to you. Okay. Your first two movies for the rest of your life.
Godfather and Godfather Part 2.
Godfather and Godfather Part 2, Proteus. How do you like them apples?
Well, I mean, Gigi would agree with Pam 100%. I'm going to go a different direction. I always disagree with Gigi about the top movie. My top movie would be Die Hard, Die Hard 1. It is a Christmas movie. Second
it
would
is.
Be Moana. I apologize. You're welcome. Moana is just
that
one of those.
That was so cute.
I know it's a children's movie. But
that
it,
was
it,
a cute movie.
Entertaining.
I won't make fun of you.
Yeah
I won't make
I
fun of
watch,
you for that. That was adorable.
It's a great movie. And I could watch Maui sing You're Welcome every single day of my life, and that would cheer me up if I was on a desert island or a deserted island or any kind of island by myself. Thank you, Tony.
Marco!
I will take Braveheart, because I love that movie. It's
a good one. And it's long.
Yeah, and I will take Goodfellas, because I love Joe Pesci.
Another good one.
Yep, those are my two favorite movies of all time.
Very good, guys.
Thanks,
well, let's close on this. Listen,
no.
My two movies?
You have to give us, you have to give us the correct
all
answer.
All right, well, I'm going to give you two. I'm going to give you one that you guys, you know what? I'm going to ask you one last question as I'm looking for the movies.
No.
So my movies would be,
no,
I'm giving it to you. I'm giving it to you. Relax. I'm
Get
giving it
fence.
To you.
Get
right?
Fence.
So Rocky II, and of course, probably JFK would be my two movies. One that's going to pull my heartstrings and one is going to make me wonder if there is any way. You know what? How about this? I'm changing it. How about that? Tom Hanks movie where he's stranded on an island because it's going to give me hope
that
Wilson
I hate that
and
movie.
Of course Rocky II. So as we close,
wait a second. You are stranded on an island with two DVDs and you want to see a movie about a dude stranded on an island. Great.
I know.
Because he gets out. Because he gets out, guys. Because he gets out. All right, guys. You know what?
There it is.
We're way off, guys. We're playing the wrong song. What the hell is going on here?
What the hell is going on here, guys?
How long have we been off the air that we don't know what the heck we're doing, guys? All right, guys, as we get out, just 1 week. It feels like many, many more. Guys, as we're leaving here, I want you guys to give out a shout-out to someone in MMA that deserves a hug. So, my hug of the week will be to the beautiful and talented my buddy. She's not my buddy, but let me pretend. Cat Zingano, guys. I have a soft spot for Cat Zingano. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because she lost her husband. I don't know because she's a good mother, but I have a soft spot for Cat Zingano. So my hug of the week is to Cat Zingano. Proteus, I'm throwing to you. Your hug of the week, MMA hug of the week.
Well, I'm going to give my MMA hug of the week to Hector Lombard because he probably needs it at this point in time. You know, everybody thinks he's a cheater. Everybody thought he's been a cheater for a long period of time, and maybe he needs a good hug.
Tammy, hug of the week, and no, you can't give it to Alan Jobon. He won. Hug of the week.
I know. You know who my hug of the week goes to, and y'all are going to laugh at me? Colby Covington. I like Colby.
Huh?
He talks a lot of shit, and nobody wants to fight him. And
seems like he needs a hug.
He needs a hug. I like him.
Marco, as we're closing the show, I'm going to throw to you. Hug of the week, and we're not going to give it to our boy, Benir Dariush, unless you want to. Hug of the week, Marco. Close the show.
I'm going to give two hugs. One to Frankie Edgar because he was rude when he got knocked out. That is rude.
Good one.
Ortega, respect your elders, man. My other hug is going to go to Jana Kuniskaya because she got flexed to a T-Rex and it was ugly to see. And I feel bad for the poor girl. But, you know, she was there like a trooper and she took her beating. So she's part of the club now. You're a member of the gang.
Yeah, but see, y'all weren't specific. You said a hug, like, from this party. You said a hug.
You went to the initiation. Congratulations, Jana. Follow Proteus and Proteus. Follow Tony at the I Am DJ Tony. Follow Pana Pandora Box. Follow me at Malcolm Marco. Follow the show at another MMA cast. Rate and review us, knuckleheads. We need the freaking clicks. We need the reviews. We need you to listen. Tell your mama, tell your uncle, tell your aunt, tell the mailman. Listen to the show.
Tell your daddy.
Tell your dad. Kill everybody. You know, it was a good week in MMA. And next week, SmackMate Picks is back to review USC in London. We got to leave you there. Catch you guys next week.
Guys, we appreciate all the shout-outs. We appreciate the numbers. We're out of here. Proteus.
And just like that, Pammy.
Buenas noches.
Perfect.
Hey, I'm not surprised, motherfuckers.
Everybody's on steroids.
Excuse me,